Over in St. Matthew's tonight, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. I'd like to say that again that we're glad to have Brother Terry here with us. And also Brother Elrod. Brother Elrod, a wonderful person of God. Been knowing him for a long time. He was with us the other night, and I'm thankful that he's back with us tonight. It's a real privilege, Brother, to have you here with us. Also, Brother James Torrance has been out for a while, and we're glad to have him back with us. Always thankful that the brethren can come and be with us. Our enthusiasm is growing more and more every day for the things of God, and our outreach is growing bigger and bigger. And in a little while, we're going to be able to do much more than we've ever done in our lives for the sake of Christ Jesus. And that thrills me. Now, you could give me $1 million, it wouldn't thrill me if I couldn't use it for Jesus. That's right, it wouldn't. But if you give me a dime and tell me I can use it for God, it thrills me. It thrills me to do something for our Lord and Savior. He's my whole heart. He's my desire. He's my ambition. Matthew's the 7th chapter. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. It's reading the whole 7th chapter, and I want to say a few things to you tonight if I can. Now, I want to say again that we have need of enthusiasm in the things of God. If you're not enthused in Christ, and then it's because you do not have a vision. The Bible tells us without a vision, the people perish. It's going to take a vision in God for us to be able to make it through. Some of you don't have enough vision, not even enough to come to church with a regularity. I would not chance your possibilities of making it into the kingdom of God. I wouldn't. Anybody that will not come to the house of God regularly couldn't have a real experience with God. I'm telling you the truth. You have to go to God's house to have the nature of the Lord Jesus. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, it doesn't make any difference. You can stay away from the house of God. It's not necessary for you to go to church to be a Christian. That is a lie. When a person tells you that, you can tell him that he is a liar because he is a liar. No man can have the Spirit of God and stay away from the house of God. Now, if that was true, then it would break the Scriptures, and the Bible tells us that the Word of God can't be broken. It's forever settled in heaven, and it cannot be changed. Whereas the Bible tells us that it was Christ's nature, said it was His nature and His practice and His way to be in the house of God every Sabbath day. Is that right? He was there with a regularity. Christ always went to the house of God. And if His Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever, He still does the same thing if He lives in your heart. If you don't do that, then Christ doesn't live in your heart. If you go to church whenever you take a notion to go to church, and you don't have any system of going to the house of God, and any regularity in going to the house of God, my brother or sister, you need to be born again of the Spirit of God. Somebody said, well, that's just your opinion of it. That's not my opinion. God didn't call me to preach my opinion. That's not my opinion. If that's my opinion, then I'm a liar. That's not my opinion. That's the Word of God. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling thyself together as the manner of some is. I've had a great controversy with a lot of Brother Branham's followers. They're not really Brother Branham's followers. Because Brother Branham believed in going to the house of God. He told them, said, if you can't go anywhere else, go to a Baptist church. But be in the house of God. So they couldn't be followers of the man. To be a follower of a man, you've got to do what he asks you to do. And they don't do it. But I have a great controversy with them. Because they say that all you have to do is have the tapes of Brother Branham. Or just stay at home and do like you want to. But I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I hope if anything ever happens to me, that I'll never have people that will go around saying that I'm Brother Pike's followers and do something like that. I hope there'll be somebody here that'll have enough backbone to go to them and point their finger in their face and say, you are a liar, that Brother Pike didn't stand for that kind of thing. I believe that you've got to go to church. Whether Brother Pike's there or not, you're supposed to go to the house of God. If I stay here and preach to you, that's wonderful. Go to the house of God. If Brother Pike passes off the scene, then go to the house of God. Find somebody that's preaching the truth, and go to God's house, because it's important that you go to God's house. Somebody said, well, there'll be the tapes. Tapes are not sufficient for your salvation. My tapes, Brother Branham's tapes, or nobody else's tapes, they're not sufficient for your salvation, my brothers and sisters. If you had tapes that the Lord Jesus Christ preached Himself, it would not be sufficient for you to take those tapes and stay at home. Somebody would say, well, I think you jumped the gun then, Brother Pike. No. No, they would not be sufficient. Because the Bible teaches the Scriptures cannot be broken. And the Word of the Lord said you ought to assemble yourselves together. You're to come together somewhere for the sake of Christ. Somebody said, well, that could be in a home, Brother Pike. I know it could be in a home, but it's got to be a church. No matter what kind of building it is, it's got to be a church. It might be in your home. But the Bible calls it the church of the living God, the ground and pillar of the truth. Somebody said, we come together and listen to tape. That's not sufficient. You're supposed to have a minister to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. I'd rather have one young preacher, as long as I know he's called of God, than to have 50,000 tapes. If it's a matter of staying away from the house of God. I believe tapes are good. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't send them out from Little Bethlehem. And I believe Brother Branham's tapes are good. And any time you take material, whether it's printed matter, whether it's tapes or whatever it is, and you listen at it for the glory of God, or you read it for the glory of God, that's fine. But brothers and sisters, you can't even take the Bible. Even the Bible, the inspired Word of God, is not sufficient for you if you take it and stay away from the house of God and stay away from assembling yourselves together. That's not even sufficient for you. Now, you've got to come together as the Bible teaches. Forsake not the assembling of thyself together, the Bible said. It said as the manner of some is. Did you hear that last statement? It said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That is, don't stay away as some people do. Don't do it, because God isn't pleased with it. I feel that people need to come to the house of God. Not only do they need to come, but you need to tell somebody else to come. You need to labor out on a job, not sit around and do nothing. It's disgusting to God for a human being to sit around and do nothing and let his belly rot out with cancer and let his body deteriorate and don't keep his physical being half decent. God's not pleased with it. Now, if you've worked your days out and you're retired, that's a different thing. But some of you young men, so lazy, you won't go out and work and won't take care of your family. And the Bible said you've denied the faith and you're worse than an infidel when you do it. God wants you to labor. Not work that you might get a new car. Not labor that you can buy a nice home or get a little nest egg in the bank. But the Bible said labor that you might have to give. You follow me? If I was working on a job out here on a public job, my whole desire would be one thing, and that is to work that I might do something for God, to do something for the widow, the orphan, somebody that's in need, to give to the cause of Christ. Labor that you might have to give. I keep getting a letter from the welfare. The lady wants me to come up and talk with her. Or she wants to come out and talk with me. Because some of the people that come to the church from time to time are too lazy to get out and work and make a living. And they become like a bunch of leeches that wants to live off of the welfare. They've got to have food stamps. They've got to have this and they've got to have that. From the world, instead of taking it by faith and letting God meet the needs, going out and working and being a real man or woman, they've got to run to the over to the welfare and let the welfare take care of them. Now, isn't that some testimony for Christ? Let me tell you something. If you were sick, disabled to work, had no income or couldn't get a job, and I'm not talking about some of you that ride a hobby horse that you can't never find nothing to do. 24 hours out of the day, so to speak, you can't find nothing to do. 365 days out of a year, you can't find nothing to do. That's a hobby horse. You want somebody to take care of you, and you're absolutely too lazy to work. The Bible said if a brother don't work, neither shall he eat. Somebody said, that's none of your business, Brother Pike. That's my business. When it gets into the church, it's my business. If the world wants to loaf, that's their business. But if you say that you're a son and daughter of God, I can't picture the nature of Jesus Christ trying to be a leech off of the welfare. Can you? Did you ever read in the Bible where Jesus ever tried to get somebody to give him something? His nature was to try to give to somebody else. Is that right? He always wanted to do something for somebody. The Bible said he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What we need to do is get a vision. We need to stop being lazy. Some of you ladies that sat around, I made the statement, you're so lazy, you won't even do your housework. You just lay around and get fat. Eat, sleep. No wonder you got so many diseases, got so many problems. You let your children run around everywhere. You don't watch after your children. You won't clean your house up. I'd hate to come over to some of his house and eat. It's bad enough to have to eat at mine sometimes. We have so much traffic coming in, different ones sitting down, and they'll help themselves and won't never wash a dish. I came in the other day and I said, Sister Betty, I don't mind the ladies coming down eating. That's fine. Eat all you want. Everything is fine. But for Christ's sake, my sake, decency's sake, help wash the dishes and clean up the house, because people come in there and talk to them about God. And I don't like to come in a messy house and maybe somebody come in, they get the idea Brother Pike's wife's lazy and never cleans up the house. Thank God for Sister Darlene. Just about every time I go in, if she's in there, she's washing the dishes. Somebody has to wash them. Now, I believe in doing something, folks. I don't believe you ought to come out here on the job when brethren are trying to work out here and stand around and do nothing. I don't believe you ought to do it. I think it's a disgrace in the sight of God. Some of you come and you want to talk to me. I don't mind talking to you. If you come around and give a hand sometimes, and I know that you're going to do something and try to be something, but every time I go to do something or every time I'm trying to help somebody, you say, Brother Pike, I got to see you a minute. And what you tell me ain't worth 15 cents because you done told me that 15 times maybe. And all it is something to keep me from doing something. It's Satan that's trying to keep me from doing something and have the devil to mess up something while I'm over there talking to you. Now if you come over and say, Brother Pike, I want to talk to you about the translations. Brother Pike, I'd love to talk to you about spreading some tracts. Brother Pike, I'd love to talk to you about fasting and prayer. Or I'd like to talk to you about sawing off a board or nailing or digging or doing something. I'm glad to talk with you. Or if you've got a real problem, if something's really wrong, you're having a real battle with the devil, and you come and want to talk to me, I'll stop everything I'm doing, and I'll come and talk with you, because that's my job, it's what I want. I'm not expecting anything out of you. I want to do something for you. But I do say people need to get up and do something. They don't need to just sit down and never do nothing for God. You come talk to me and tell me how much you fear God, how much you know that this is right, and you won't do a thing to help it, but you say, I know it's right, Brother Pike, I know it's right, but you won't live right. That's no good. God expects you to live right. Folks, listen. There's nobody special in the sight of God. I'm not special in the sight of God. I'm going to have to live right just like you live right. And you're going to have to live right just like I live right. You can't gossip and backbite and find fault and lie and cheat and swindle and cause division. You can't do that and go to heaven. The Bible said, he that backbiteth with his tongue, he shall not stand in the holy hill of God. Are you listening to me? He that backbiteth with his tongue shall not stand in the holy hill of God. Now, the Bible said, if any man seem to be religious among you and bridleth not his tongue, so this man's fooling himself, because his religion is in vain. If you're going to say things about people, just sit around and talk and gossip and say, old sister so-and-so and so-and-so and old brother so-and-so and so. If you're going to do that, there's one thing for sure, you might well forget about salvation. Now, if you're going to try to get to heaven, then you might as well to go all the way. But if you're not going all the way, quit making yourself miserable. And quit making me miserable and everybody else miserable that you come around. Somebody took the initiative today to come and tell me, said, you know, said the brother, said he went out of his way when I come by. Said he went out of his way to keep from saying anything to me. So I sure am glad he went out of his way. So I'm tired of him coming over to my house anyway. Hope he never don't never coming back to my house no more, he said, you know. Said, but I love him, you know, in a Christian way. That's what he said. I thought, well, what kind of way is that? He don't never want him to come back to his house. He's tired of the way he's done. And my, I don't know how many different things, but he loves him in a Christian way. Now, folks, I'll tell you right now, somebody's mixed up. Either I'm mixed up or them folks that talk like that is mixed up. Because I don't know of any Christian way to love a brother and never want him to come to your house. I can see a Christian way of loving a person and telling them you like to be decent, you'd like for them to be decent when they come over to your house. But I don't see any Christian way to love a brother and never want to be around the brother. Because the Bible said we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. I love you. I don't love the evil spirits that you bring around sometimes. I don't appreciate the spirit a man brought in here tonight. A fella brought an old devil in here tonight he didn't have no business bringing in. I don't appreciate that. But I still try to do what I can for him. And as the days go by, God will tear up his hide for it and he'll wish that he'd done right. He's going to learn the hard way. He's one of them people that there's no other way to let him learn except the hard way. He's going to learn the hard way. And when he does, you won't have any more trouble out of him. You know what happens? God is so long-suffering and God is so merciful. He'll go so long and let a person off until that person gets it in their mind that everything's all right and that they're doing pretty good because God ain't done nothing to them and they must be in pretty good shape. And all of a sudden, the Bible said, God taketh the hypocrite by surprise, that God is not a hypocrite like he is. The Bible said, you think I'm altogether such a one as you, but someday I'll face you and I'll meet you and I'll show you that I'm not like you. Somebody said, but you said that before, but I'm saying it again tonight so you'll remember it. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Not everyone, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I think this exhortation is good for you tonight. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of God? It's his word. This is his word. Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me, O God. I want to do your will. I come to do your will. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of God? His word. What is the word of God? Labor that you might have to give. What is the word of God? It said to pray always. Is that the word of God? What is the word of God? Many wonderful things is pointed out in the word of God. Many things. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Many wonderful things are in the word of God. This is the word of God. This is the will of God. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of God? Love one another, Jesus said. How can you love God who is a spirit whom you've not seen when you don't love your brother whom you have seen? Is that right? So then God wants us to do his will. Not everyone that cometh to little Bethlehem, not everyone that goeth to church, not everyone that giveth a little money, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Folks, I want to say this. I'm talking to you out of my heart tonight. This thing is a lot closer to the end than you think it is. I understand that in the year of 72, that the president signed a bill, and that bill give 10 men the right to have control of things, to make it possible for them to take over everything when it comes to the news medias, when it comes to food, when it comes to transportation, when it comes to everything that the public needs. These 10 men that's called a regional council has the power to take it over. That sounds like the 10 horns to me, don't it, you? That's all it needs is about 10 of them to get control of everything and then put this monster of a computerized system into operation, and you've just about got the thing sewed up. I understand that a hospital in Sarasota, Florida, that's called a Memorial Hospital, that way back, maybe since the year 63 or sometimes, has operated after the same fashion that the mark of the beast is going to operate after. Their people haven't received a paycheck since about the year of 63. Though they have about $280,000 biweekly that they have to pay. Yet their people haven't received a paycheck. They've got a system that they run it through that takes care of all of their banking. And all they do is use a social security number and give them a little card. And it works out just fine for them. They not only haven't paid them any other way, but the statement was made that they would not change the system because it was so efficient. And the man made the statement, said there'll come a day because of the system that he had, and he saw it was so perfect. He said, there will come a day when every individual will have to have a number, or they will not be able to buy nor sell, because the same number that they use is not only used for their paycheck, but it's used also for their purchase. How many of you know they've already got what they call the honest face card? How many acquainted with that? See, they've already got that. They've already got the honest face card. You have to memorize the number, get it up here in your head, and then you don't write the number down, you don't keep the number, you memorize the number, you tear it up, so nobody else will know it. In other words, I'm saying that things are shaping up a lot faster than you could ever imagine. Things is happening, folks. Now, that's why that I'm trying to do what I'm trying to do at Little Bethlehem. I'm trying to preserve a heritage that was given to us by God through our forefathers. That's why we have the little money system that we have. Because money makes you a sovereignty. When you've got your own paycheck, you've got your own money, you can operate, buy like you want to, get what you want to, buy as much as you want to. But when they get control of everything, then you don't have any sovereignty anymore. With your money goes your rights. They've already got the bill set up. I've got the writings on it. They've already got the bill set up to where they're going to completely eliminate the use of money, and they're going to change it. I made the statement here that they change that over to a computerized system, and already they've got the laws and everything, the means set up to where they're planning to change it to a computerized system and computer numbers to and fro to different places, and completely eliminate the use of checks and the use of money. Already they've got it set up. Out on the West Coast, they're trying to incorporate this, and 96%, I believe it is, of the bank said that they'd go along with it. Are you listening to me? I'll just take a few more minutes now. We're going to close here in just a few minutes. Things are shaping up and shaping up fast. There's going to come a time when you will stay all night long in the house of God. You won't want to leave. There won't be nothing to leave for. Everything will be trouble and heartaches and problems and woes. And the only consolation, the only safety, the only peace you'll have is in the house of God and with the brethren. Now it'll come to pass. Watch and see. All of your substance, you're not going to be able to buy. You're not going to be able to sell. Everything is going to be under the control of one great power. Now, they can't do that right now. They've still got a little perfecting to do. But in a short while, they'll be able to control everything through the computer system. And one man can have control and will have control of everything in the entire world. One man can do it and will do it. Now, I favor anything that you can do to get out of the system. I favor that. I favor what we're doing out here. I favor if you can get out of the cities, if you can do anything for yourself, I favor that. But folks, it's going to take Jesus. It's going to take Jesus. According to the Bible, it says that Moab and maybe Edom, just one or two places, is the only places the Bible tells us that will escape the hand of the Antichrist. It said that he will have control throughout the world, and just one or two places will escape. And he said these one or two places will escape. And from what we understand of the scriptures, they will be able to escape because it is the place that God has ordained for Israel to hide away. And he isn't going to let him get control of that. That's all that will escape. So we can run to the country. We can run out of the city. We can pile up. We can do anything we want to. But the Bible said you're not going to escape it. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what are you doing in Little Bethlehem? I'm trying to have something to where we can escape the early stages of it before the rapture takes place. Because it's already closing in on us. Look at the trouble the law causes you. Every little thing that comes up, the law pounces on you. You don't have to go out and make a bill. They'll impose a bill upon you. I get a letter from Kipler or Kipling or something. I don't remember just what it is. Some kind of letter that comes to me. But it says that tax is as high than it's ever been. Never in the history of the world has taxes ever been that high. And said it's going even higher. See, you don't have to make a bill anymore. Somebody said, well, they can't lock you up for a debt. I know they can't. But what they do, they sue you and get judgment against you. And if you don't go to court, then it's a broken law, so they automatically put you in jail. If you do go to court, then they get judgment against you and you have to pay the thing, or then you broke the law and they can put you in jail. And if you don't make a bill, then they'll run the light bill up. They'll put taxes on you. They've got something that they're going to get control of you through one way or another. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to pay county taxes or school taxes, or you're going to pay this or that, or you're going to pay something. They're going to impose something upon you to where they can pull you into court one way or another. The Bible said, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you're called. Do not the rich man oppress you and bring you before the mercy seats. Do they do that? Do they oppress you and bring you before the mercy seat? The Bible said the rich will oppress you and draw you before the mercy seats and blaspheme the worthy name by which you're called. They'll mock you and do anything. I'm saying, folks, that it's a lot closer than you realize. Things are taking place a lot faster. You go on and you keep your little nest egg. You go on and you keep your little selfish way. You go on and you make your little program for your little four and no more, as the world uses the terms. You let the brethren, let the sisters struggle out here. You keep your little place. You keep what you got. But I'll tell you, there's coming a day when you're going to plead with these brothers and sisters to take your hand and give you a helping hand and lift you out of the mire that you're going to be in. Now watch and see. It's already happened here a number of times. Right here, I've said that, and it's already happened to a number of people. A number of people that would not help us and would not go along with us and would not put their efforts and shoulders to the wheel is already head over heels in a mess right now and needs the help of these people. And numbers of them have done that very same thing in the past. You need to wake up. You need to wake up. You fellows that are lazy, you need to get out on a job and do something. And get off of the welfare. That's right. And let that lady stop writing me letters. I've not been up to see her, and unless God speaks to me, I'm not going up to see her. I believe the just shall live by faith, not by welfare. If you don't think things is happening, Mike David, just a few days, it's just been a few weeks back, he took some of this literature, wrote a letter, and sent it to Elvis Presley. And the papers published that Elvis Presley is now an evangelist preaching the gospel. Somebody said, Brother Pike, do you really believe that your literature did it? Who knows? It might have. Jesus is Jesus in my literature just like he is your literature. You ever thought about it like that? I don't know whose literature done it. I don't know that anybody's literature done it. I don't know that the man's even right with God. But I'll tell you one thing. I made the statement a number of years ago, and it's on tape, and some of you remembered. I said, the whole world will turn religious. The whole world will go religious. And that just about proves it. When the king of the rock and roll turns religious, then that means something's taking place. How do you agree to that? So then, when Elvis Presley decides that he has been in every slop hole in the world, had his fill of every sloppy, messy thing that he can, I want you to get this. He was in an Assembly of God church, in a holiness church to begin with. He left it and slopped through every sloppy, messy hole that he could and dragged everybody else through it he could. Reached the very top, got above all the stars, called the rock, king of the rock and roll, and done just about everything to cause the whole world to go after him. Everywhere you look, even in religion, it's rock and roll music. And then after leaving God's house, going to the hog pens and through the slop, like the prodigal son, found out that all of that mess would never satisfy and has come back to what you have never left to start with. You ought to be happy, folks. But I'm going to say this, that if you don't watch out, the prodigals out there that's coming in is going to have such a joy and jubilee and enthusiasm over this thing while you sit around like a bunch of folks at a funeral home. Until you're going to be torn to pieces when you see them come into the kingdom of God and you yourself shut out. Jesus told the Jews one time, he said it's going to be a sad time when the children of the kingdom are turned into the outer darkness and people everywhere come into the kingdom. He said it's going to be a sad time. And it happened, folks. They were cut off at Calvary and the Gentiles came in by translation. And it's going to happen to many of you. Hold fast, let no man take your crown. Something is taking place, and you need to wake up. I want you to stand with me. I hope that this exhorting tonight has been of some benefit to you. I hope that you'll remember next time when you come into the house of God to come with thanksgiving. Get that old dirty, filthy spirit off of you. Get that old evil devil off of you before you come in here. Start thinking a little bit. Get your mind on God. Get your thoughts on God. Get your mind off of resentment, off of haughtiness, off of rebellion, off of contrariness, or turn around and go back home. Because we don't want you here. If you want to come in here to puff and pout and hinder, go back home. We don't have any place for you here. But if you want to come here and listen to the gospel, you might be mixed up. You might be in a mess. You might need help. And if you want to come here, if you're a drunkard, if you're a harlot, if you're a liar, you're a murderer, whatever you are, if you want to come here and sit down in a decent manner and listen to the Word of God, then we're ready to preach to you. But if you're a troublemaker, you need to go on down the road. We don't need you. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art called, sing it with me, will you? Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? Turn him. away. Come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, listen to my Savior and hear his sweet voice. Don't turn him away. Can you sing it again? Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. Come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, listen to the Savior and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. God wants to do something for you tonight. While I pray for these and ask the Lord to touch him tonight, I want you to pray. I want you to believe. I preached a sermon to you here on faith a few nights back. And I really felt the faith of God. And I really felt the power of God. And I feel faith tonight. I feel somebody believing tonight, Gary. I believe that my people is beginning to get faith, beginning to take hold of faith. I've had some of late to come to me, and they've told me, Brother Pine, I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe. I don't care what I think, how I feel, I'm going to believe. And I could tell the way that they were talking that they really did believe, and they really were going to believe. And you know, that's what God wants. I want to say this to you tonight again. The Lord doesn't want us to be defeated. God doesn't have any plans of our defeat. We can't be defeated. We must rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever. We can't be defeated. God's ordained that we be not defeated. We've got to believe, and we can believe. And God doesn't want you sick. He doesn't want you in poverty. He doesn't want you to have problems. God didn't put you down here for that purpose. He subjected you to vanity that you might conquer every foe, that you might conquer every sickness. He didn't make you subject to the things of the world so that you would be enslaved by bondage. But he put you down here that you might learn about an inward ability called Jesus. That you might learn that you had an inward tuition and something on the inside of you that is great and marvelous and powerful and can make you more than a conqueror through him that loved you. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel God. I feel faith. I do. I feel faith. You know what the trouble is? Some of you can't believe that faith really can heal, that faith can really do something for you. You can't believe it. You live so much in the carnal that you can't be supernatural. You can't believe that a simple little thing like believing can make a supernatural thing take place. But it can. But it can. Your simple believing can make a supernatural thing transpire. That's wonderful. Give God a chance. I'm thankful for Bethlehem. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Let's sing that little chorus together, can we? Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows all will vanish, and your night turn into day. Let go and let God have His way. Let's sing it again. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. All your sorrows will vanish, and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. I wonder if you can let go tonight. Can you let go tonight? In your heart, in your spirit, can you let go? When you come together, we gather here in the house of God. It is time to get your healing. It's time to get your deliverance. We come to the house of God to be healed. We come to the house of God to be delivered. We come to the house of God that the anointing might break the yoke, that we might get strength from God and go on for another day, another week, another month. Hallelujah. To get the energizing, rejuvenating joy of the Lord in our heart. To become activated with the power of God. And to be able to go out in His strength and prevail against the enemy of our soul. We come here for a refilling. A refilling. When our faith feels cast down and we feel that things aren't right, then we come to God's house and we fellowship together, and the virtues of Christ begins to fill our life. And then we go away strong again. I feel strength, don't you? When Peter said to the man at the gate called Beautiful, Christ maketh thee whole. Arise. The man rose up as Peter took his hands. The Bible said immediately he felt strength enter into his ankle bones, into his legs. He felt strength. I remember the woman in Mexico when she came above the sofa. She said, I feel unusually strong. Strength from God tonight can help you. Strength from God tonight can make you, mold you. Can we sing it one more time? Try to use your faith. Try to use your faith. I've had to use my faith all my life. I've had to use my faith to survive. And God still fixes it to where I have to use my faith. I said tonight I've got to have $25,000 right away. You know what? That gives me a chance to use my faith. You know why? Because you can't give it to me. You don't have it. Some of you tonight, if you had it, you'd give it to me. But God saw that you didn't have it. Why? Because that gives me a chance to trust God and to have faith, see? I like that, don't you? I like that. That makes me go to my knees and pray and call upon Him until faith comes down within my heart and faith reaches up and takes it out of the hand of God. I like to decree a thing in my heart and see it come to pass. I like to do that. I like to use faith. I like to decree a thing in my heart and see it come to pass. I've done it so many multiplied times in my life. Can we sing that again? Every one of you tonight no doubt has problems, but if you would do one thing, and that's just turn loose, let your faith go out to God and try to use it to settle your problems and to do something for you, you'd have all the change of heart, all the change and all the difference that faith could make in your life. You'd have it. You'd never go back to the beggarly elements of the world. Once you learn that faith is real, and once you learn you can use it, you'll never go back to trusting in the arm of flesh. Some of you that can't make ends meet, that trust in your job out there and trust that that little old salary is going to take care of you. That's why God sometimes don't let you have any work, because you've got your faith in the arm of flesh, in your ability and in the job and in the contractors, or in your office, or in some company. And God just pulls it out Monday you to give you a chance to use your faith. But instead of using your faith, a lot of you just take a lot of grumbles and grunts, fusses, try to take shortcuts and go to the welfare and everything else. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Let's sing that song again, can we? Oh, let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Sing it again while I pray for these people. Let go. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as I pray for my little grandbaby, I thank You for my precious grandbaby. Heal her little body. I remember in the hospital, God, when You healed her, God, when it looked like she would die, but God, You healed her and You brought her out. Heal Jesus tonight. Father, touch Cindy. Heal tonight. God, I feel faith. The name of Jesus tonight. Father, touch Ann tonight. Heal Jesus. Touch little William. Heal. The name of Jesus, Father, touch these children. Heal the little bodies. Touch Him in the wonderful name of Jesus for Your glory, Father. Father, tonight as I pray for this sister, heal Jesus. I feel You healing tonight. I feel Your spirit tonight. I feel faith, Jesus. Heal. God, I feel the mighty power of the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, heal these little children. The wonderful name of Jesus tonight. Heal this little child. Jesus' name. Father, I feel Your healing. Heal this mother. The name of Jesus tonight, Father. God, touch this mother tonight. Hallelujah. While I feel the mighty power of God, Lord, the same way that I felt it in the vision this morning, heal this person. God, that same Spirit, God, that same mighty anointing, God, that spoke and set new horizons for God, heal this mother. Lift this faith up. Encourage it in Jesus' name. Satan, I adjure thee by God tonight to move Your hand from hindering this mother, hindering this faith tonight. Heal Jesus. Father, touch this little child. The wonderful name of Jesus. Touch these little children tonight, God. Touch Bobby in Jesus' name. Touch him for Your wonderful pleasure and glory tonight. As I lay my hands upon him, I ask You to touch him in Jesus' name, Father.
Hallelujah. Touch this little child in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, as I pray for this mother tonight, I'm thankful for the privilege of prayer, Father. I'm thankful for the privilege of believing. Heal this mother, Jesus. I feel faith. God, tonight, touch this little child. Heal, Jesus. Father, touch these people. Heal tonight. In the name of Jesus, Father, heal. Oh, God, heal these sick bodies. God, the wonderful name of Jesus, as I feel your anointing tonight. Father, heal these bodies. Heal, God, as I feel faith. Jesus' name tonight, I ask you to heal. Father, heal Tommy. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, as I feel your presence, heal tonight. God, in the wonderful name of Jesus, heal tonight. Heal David tonight. Jesus' name, Father, as I feel your presence. Hallelujah. Heal Bob tonight. Oh, God, may thy spirit come down and heal. Heal, Jesus, I feel your presence tonight. Father, heal Brother Ron tonight. Heal his body. Heal his body. In the name of Jesus, as I feel your presence tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel God tonight. I feel the presence of God. I feel the anointing of God, that same wonderful anointing that I felt in the vision when all of my cares lifted, all of my worries and burdens went away into nothing, and the tears come down my cheeks. The mighty anointing of God that I cherish more than all the gold and silver. I cherish it more than I do my family, more than I do my life. The wonderful anointing of God that God has placed in my life has been there down through the years. I thank God for it. I thank God for faith, because today faith is still in my heart as it was in years gone by. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I feel faith tonight. I ask you to touch Terry. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus tonight, Father, correct every disorder of this life. Let the mighty anointing of God that I feel now, Lord, rest upon Terry. Oh, God, as he tells the glad tidings of great joy to the people. In the name of Jesus, Father, hallelujah. Father, touch Toby tonight. In the name of Jesus, Father, move every confusion. Oh, God, as this precious anointing is present here tonight, I pray that you would do it. Touch this little child in Jesus' name tonight. And, oh, God, touch Brother Gonzalez tonight. Father, may there be a great stirring in his life, a great moving. Oh, God, may every doubt, every despondency, every evil be moved away, God, that would hinder him in the wonderful power of Jesus Christ. I feel you tonight, God. I feel your presence. Heal tonight. Oh, God, heal in Jesus' name tonight, I pray. Fathers, I pray for Brother Elrod tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus. Heal tonight. Heal, Jesus. Oh, God, I feel your presence tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. Heal tonight. Father, I pray that you'd heal Brother Mike tonight. Healed in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, heal Brother Richard tonight. Oh, God, encourage and lift up Jesus. Oh, God, and heal tonight. Father, may thy spirit, God, that I feel now, God, be upon this brother. Father, heal this sister tonight. Let thy spirit, let thy power, let thy presence, Jesus, be in this life in Jesus' name. Heal, God. Father, heal this sister tonight in the name of Jesus. Heal, God, while I feel faith tonight. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to heal. Father, heal this sister. God, may the diseases, may everything, God, be moved away as we pray tonight in the name of Jesus. I ask you to heal, Father, while I feel your anointing tonight. Heal Sister Lynn. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, heal, dear God, in your wonderful name tonight. May thy spirit tonight, Father, rest upon these people and heal in Jesus' name. As I pray, God, in the name of Jesus for thy healing. Father, heal Sister Robin. In the name of Jesus tonight, heal this little lady. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Father, heal Sister Floyd tonight. May thy spirit come down upon her. God, as I feel the presence of Christ tonight, I feel faith in Sister Floyd's heart. Heal tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, touch this sister tonight. Heal her body in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. May thy spirit enrich this heart. Father, touch this little lad in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. I feel God moving tonight. I feel His presence tonight. I feel people getting healed. For the last few nights that we preached faith here, I felt the wonderful power of deliverance. And I felt healing taking place. And I've got some wonderful testimonies already where people have come and said, Brother Pike, since you was preaching the other night, I've had a healing in my family. Or I've had something to happen and said, I know it was a miracle. Isn't that wonderful? I like that, don't you? God is a miracle. God is healing. God's doing something, and that thrills my soul. It thrills my soul. How wonderful to have people that will believe God. How wonderful. Can we sing another chorus? I like that song, Sweep Over My Soul. Can we sing that? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me. My rest is complete while I sit at Jesus' feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it again, will you? Sweep over.